That's the sound of cars rushing through piles of melting snow here in mid-Michigan. The mercury is slowly climbing. Thursday marks the first day of spring, and as the snow fades away, it's time to be aware of the dangers of flooding. High water can be a dangerous scenario for drivers on the roads and also for anyone in low-lying areas. First responders are getting ready for those potential hazards, and joining me to talk about that is Captain Chris Kolensky. Chris is the Deputy State Director of Emergency Management and Homeland Security with the Michigan State Police. Chris Kolensky, welcome to Current State.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. We've seen a lot of snowfall this winter, as everyone is perfectly aware. Are emergency planners particularly worried about wide-scale flooding this spring?
They are. They're always worried about flooding, especially if they've had it happen in the past. But this year especially, Michigan might see some widespread flooding in the next couple of months. And the typical flood risk in Michigan this time of year is 5 to 20%, and currently it's at 40 to 90%. So it's a concern.
That is, and is that attributable simply to the amount of snow we received?
It's a combination of the snowpack that we have. So yes, the amount of snow we've received, as well as how long it's staying here. So the longer it stays, the chances of a rapid melt is significantly going to affect our flooding.
Mm-hmm. So far, everyone is talking about how cold it has stayed, how frequently it's been cold on one account, and obviously we're just a few days from spring and we're still seeing overnight low temperatures in the single digits. That must improve the outlook as far as you're concerned, or not?
It does. I want warm weather here just as much as anybody else. I am kind of tired of the cold weather. However, we need to stay below 50 degrees during the daytime, and we need to have the freezing temperatures at night. So we have that slow, gradual melt. Mm-hmm. So the cold weather at night, that's a good thing for us as far as flooding. So also we want to see, or we don't want to see, significant amounts of rain. If we can have small rains with breaks in between, that's definitely going to help us out.
In the spring, we often see flood advisories or warnings, whether it's on TV or radio or even on alerts on mobile devices. Do you get the sense that the public at large applies the appropriate level of caution to the possibility of flooding?
I don't think it's where we need to be. I think we can always do better. Lately, we have had a lot more weather-related issues in this state. It's becoming more and more frequent. So I think people are becoming more in tune to preparing for these types of events, but we're not quite where we need to be. Mm-hmm. But we've gotten better. And the local emergency managers really do a great job informing the public. And if they've had flooding, like along the Grand River or in Ionia, people in those areas, they absolutely are more prepared than others may be.
Talk to us about the plans that first responders have to protect people and property, especially in those low-lying areas near rivers and lakes.
Well, all emergencies and disasters start and end at the local level. And we work with our local emergency management partners. The state police has what we call district coordinators throughout the state of Michigan. They're kind of our liaison with the local emergency management programs. And we are in constant dialogue with our local emergency managers. So we'll push programs and different things down to our local emergency management programs, and they're the ones who really are engaged at the local level, making sure that their communities have the plans in place, that the threats and the hazards and all the risks are identified, and that they prepare appropriately for those threats and hazards and risks.
Are the people who live in floodplains always aware that they're living in a floodplain?
Some of the more obvious ones, right on the river, but sometimes people don't realize that they are in floodplains, and they definitely should check that, because if they are living in a floodplain, they should have some additional insurance, because insurance doesn't always cover flooding. So they're going to need some additional coverage, and we've been kind of pushing that message out when we knew that we were going to have some additional flooding this year to get with your insurance company, because it may take up to 30 days for some of those policies to take effect.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, we had a segment on the program involving I mean, this is a separate story, really, but the whole flood insurance landscape is very confused right now, and it's really a national story. Certainly in the Lansing area, the Grand River and the Red Cedar are the most watched places for flooding, but often those rivers crest over a period of days, so there's sometimes some advance warning. Are there areas that are especially prone to flash flooding in our area?
The rivers, it's a very difficult thing to predict. We work very close with the National Weather Service. So like last spring, we have the National Weather Service in our State Emergency Operations Center. And we kind of are, all the state agencies will be housed up in that center, helping the locals with any of the needs that they have if they have a disaster or an incident. Last spring, we could predict by watching the river gauges when Grand Rapids was going to flood. Mm-hmm. So we could predict when it was going to crest.
Okay.
But there wasn't any ice. We didn't have the deep frost. So now the issue is our gauges may show, or the National Weather Service gauges may show a lower risk of flooding. And then as soon as we get a rapid melt or ice jams, you know, the ice will start to break up. And if they start jamming up, that's when we could have some serious issues. It could change quickly mm-hmm. because of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next 5 days out, I want to say here in Lansing, we are expecting temperatures above the 40 mark. I want to say twice, like Wednesday and Thursday, or maybe tomorrow and Wednesday, one or the other. Is that I take it that's a pretty good scenario for this time of year?
Yes. At this time of year, we would rather take those couple of days, and again, that colder temperatures in the evening. The last thing we want is 5 days of, you know, 55, 60-degree weather. That's going to cause us some concerns.
I couldn't help but notice somewhere somebody on Twitter today mentioned that 2 years ago today it was 78 degrees. So that's the kind of scenario you're hoping to avoid, I take it.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
Break down for us what is a good home preparation plan for before to address a flood?
Well, a lot of people may seem like it's a big job preparing for flooding because they just don't know where to begin. And first and foremost, every household should have an emergency preparedness kit. And by taking the initiative to build an emergency preparedness kit, people are going to be better prepared in case an emergency or a disaster happens. And that means having things like water, at least 3 gallons of water per person. We're looking for a 72-hour time frame of people being self-sufficient because responders may not be able to get to them. One, because of, you know, they just physically cannot get to that location.
Right.
Or two, it's everyone's so busy, they just can't get to them at that time. Additionally, food, 3-day supply of non-perishable food per person, some medications, a battery-powered or hand-crank radio, flashlights with extra batteries, and a first aid kit, and pet supplies. A lot of times people forget that, you know, they need to have supplies for their pets also. And we also want them to have a complete change of clothing and footwear, especially with floods. We don't want people walking in flood water. We see on television all the time people walking through flood water.
Yeah.
That is not a good thing. There's a lot of disease, a lot of issues in that water.
Let's talk about that, though. I mean, health concerns after a flood, the waters are at greater risk of not being sanitary. What should people do about drinking and bathing water?
When a flood occurs, that's when we work with our health department partners. And we have, like the Department of Natural Resources assists with making sure people's wells get rechecked. They got to check the water again. There's just a lot of steps that have to go into place after a flood, but to listen to the local emergency managers. They will provide the direction of whether or not the water is safe to drink or we have a boiled water advisory. So they really need to stay in tune with their local emergency management programs. But by having their own supplies with them, they should be okay. Again, 3-day supply.
72 hours is the real key threshold.
That's absolutely correct.
Is that it? What about drivers encountering standing water on roads? I mean, I do hear about precautions about that, but do people heed those precautions generally?
Generally, but some people feel that they can just drive right through it. And the problem with that, if it's moving water, just a few inches of water can move a vehicle. It definitely can sweep you off your feet if the water's going over the road. A bigger concern is while it may look stable underneath that roadway, it could be washed out. And the only thing that's standing is that asphalt or concrete. And the weight of a vehicle could drop that vehicle right through. The vehicle could go right through it.
Mm-hmm.
So the structure underneath the road might not be stable and more than likely is not stable.
Mm-hmm. How far into the future, then, as we sit here today on St. Patrick's Day, Monday the 17th, how far into the future are you looking at the weather forecast?
We have webinars with the National Weather Service. We have one actually this morning, and they provide us two-week outlooks. Now, obviously, we're looking at the weather every single day, but they can project within 2 weeks kind of what we're going to see and what the trends are going to be. And we'll continue to do that until the threat of flooding subsides or it comes and we have to open the State Emergency Operations Center.
What's it like working in emergency management and Homeland Security? your title is Deputy State Director of Emergency Management and Homeland Security.
It is. It's extremely busy. It's an extremely busy job. And it just never ends. There's always something there, whether it's on the Homeland Security side or the emergency management side. We've been fortunate in Michigan. We're surrounded by the Great Lakes, which somewhat insulates us from a lot of weather issues like some of our other states see every year. They have catastrophic events. But the weather's changing, and mm-hmm. we're going to see some more catastrophic events or at least more flooding or severe storms in the future because of it. And that's going to keep me busy, and my staff. I have great staff.
You're based here in Lansing, then?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, it's been great talking to you about this. It's a pretty relevant topic. Captain Chris Kolanski is Deputy State Director of Emergency Management and Homeland Security with the Michigan State Police. Thank you, Captain Kolanski.
Thank you.